Yo, Suave.
Hey, yo.
As we are flying by the seat of our pants, as per usual, pause. It's us, Gang Green.
Careful, we might end up on that list of people that are getting thrown under the bus this week.
We already set tripping color wise on the apparel today, but that's neither here nor there.
I just wanted to show off a little drip for iMock. That's nothing crazy, you know. We do have some new merch that we need to put on the show that we need put on in Greensboro.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you guys act right, you know, we'll put you on game.
Mandatory dress code for next episode will be the Greensboro drip. That should make things.
I really have a poor relationship with the word mandatory, but since you asked nicely, sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Like, we have to do some pre-work because we're literally going to blend in with our backgrounds.
See, that's the part. It may not work. We're going to have to test it before we do that. Otherwise, we're just going to be showing previously recorded footage.
We might just have to put like a beach background on just so we can show it off or something like that. Oh, man, we haven't spoken to the Pencil Pushers since before your birthday, the International Day of Cool, before AEW Revolution.
Month of Cool.
Right. before Revolution. Right. And there's so much to discuss. So much. I didn't like that at all. There's going to be a new solution for that next week. Today's date, Thursday, May 14th, Yevalor.
Yevalor, we had a technical issue over here. I was hoping you didn't pitch to anything for me real quick while I was fixing it.
Yeah, sure in the hell did.
But knowing the child that is my co-host,
that wasn't even.
There's an opportunity.
I had an issue of my own. I was just like, what the?
We weren't recording either.
There was one while we were recording just before I pitched the date. Let's try this again. Today's date, Thursday, March 14th. Yeah, my Lord.
Yeah, my Lord.
I said, yeah, my Lord.
Yeah, my Lord.
20 and 20, 4.
Would you like fries with that, sir?
Actually, no. No carbs. I don't need the starches.
Dipping sauce for your nuggets. Pause.
Let me see. I say I don't need the carbs, but I'm feeling. You call me really a child.
Down for the carbs.
You call me a child. I'm feeling real elementary-ish right now. I would like some honey, please.
Honey?
For the nuggets, yes.
Would you also like some orange slices and a Capri Sun?
As long as they're in a plastic cup and the straw is not bent, yes. Let the church say.
What the church say? Hey, man.
He wasn't expecting that answer.
Let me take this brief time out to go ahead and wish a part of Pencil Pusher Nation, but more importantly, my brother, CG's birthday is today. So we are kicking off the second leg of the iMock parade.
Yeah.
Additional iMock Founders Day for those of you who are in the know.
This will forever be known as a day of incredible genius. You see what I did there?
Of incredible genius.
You see what I did there?
Actual factuals.
Yeah. Happy birthday, CG.
Actual factuals. I am sure he is enjoying the other holiday that shares this date. Salute to you, sir. Enjoy yourself.
It's Pi Day. CG, I have but one question. Do you like, pie? Oh, yeah, that part too.
Okay, it's also Pi Day, but I was talking about Steak Day.
Yeah. Yep. That old Billy Joel, huh?
Damn it, boy.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and do this. We got a lot of stuff to talk about in a short time to do it in. We'll put, if I can find this thing, 30 minutes on the clock, please.
30 piece.
All right, timer begins Now,
all right.
AEW Revolution.
Okay.
Matthew Ingram, Keys. Let me tell you, I told y'all there was a story. Here it go.
Start. Go ahead.
Here it go. We get there dumb early. Like, me and Suave, we have been killing, like, just painting the triangle with all types of, we cashing out, eating, libating, all the things that you're supposed to do when you're in another person's town. We did that, did some shopping, merched out, linked up with my nephew, shouts out, Be Jolly, linked up with him for a nice lunch. Go to the historic Greensboro Coliseum. Let me tell you, I didn't know what I was expecting out of that Coliseum. That Coliseum was amazing. Very up-to-date, clean venue. A class structure. Absolute class structure. We get prime parking. We're literally right up front. Like, the line is looking at us. So as opposed to us being ne'er-do-wells and standing in line, what do we decide to do? Tailgate. Of course, me being a connoisseur of fine tobacco, had a nice, very nice St. Patty's Day IMOC style cigar, while Mr. Suave Burgundy's in the passenger seat playing DJ for the entire line.
I smashed too. That was a.
We had an episode.
I wouldn't say I was in rare form, but
I was. Oh no! Oh no! Rare form is when I'm in music mode. And all of a sudden I hear my voice and we hear, like, not we, but I hear this.
Hey, hey.
And I realized that Suave was actually playing the Revolution, You Know Who Ain't Gonna Win episode for the Greensboro crowd while we're in the parking lot. Turn up.
I mean, but tell me, now all the windows down are down, the back hatch, the vehicle's up. How are you going to tailgate for an event and not play the pregame show?
65 degrees and no wind with the sun beaming. It was genius. Absolute genius. Great work.
It was absolutely impeccable conditions.
I made the dubious mistake of forgetting to start my car while using the amplifier built into the vehicle to power the entire tailgate. So as the line gets to the point of being able to just us walk up and within 30 seconds entering the venue, legit stop. 30 seconds.
Stop, because there's a public service announcement involved with this. Event goers.
I was going to this.
From now on, stop waiting in line to get into something you already have tickets for. My God. And see, I don't mean like, okay, we're 30 minutes before bell time, so they're letting people in the building and you're just standing in line to go through security check. I mean, the doors don't open till 6 p.m. You're in line at 3 p.m., standing in the same spot for at least 2 hours, doing absolutely nothing. Stop waiting in line for events that you have already purchased tickets for. This is not a standing room only situation. This is not like House of Blues where you're on the floor, so it's general admission, or like at a Cowboys game where it's standing room only and you're trying to make sure you get the best view from the platform section. None of that. You have a ticket with an assigned seat. Regardless of when you go through security, you know where you gonna be. Nothing about that changes.
And especially in an event that has a sub moniker attached to it. It was Sting's last match. You know people are gonna show up and show out for Sting's last match. The man has given us 40 years of his life in the ring.
True.
So even if the seat next to you is unoccupied by the time you get there, you know your seat's guaranteed. Speaking of, Suave, great job on the seats, because we had absolutely...
I'm better than I hide at this. I just don't be saying that.
either the seats were procured and weren't taken advantage of, or they just were let go completely. Either way, we had about five of them boys.
I'll tell you exactly what it was, because I made sure I figured that out. So the individual who had these tickets had a group, which I'm going to say, judging by the gap that was left, was somewhere between four and six seats in that section, all right next to each other. I purchased two. Those other four?
Never got claimed.
Not my business. Not my circus. Not my monkeys.
And, so, our section was live.
Our section was live. Little too live at times. But yeah, a little too live. Certainly active. Not always the greatest action from being active. However, you know, everybody had a good time. Nobody got thrown down the stairs. There was no arguments, no drunk fights.
Yeah, nobody got cursed out. Nobody stood up and looked at the other person and then frowning. Like, there was none of that.
No conflicts. Nobody had to flip the bird at anybody else.
Not even any creative differences. Like, it wasn't even like some, like, no. Right. Like, for the most part, if we cheered somebody that normally gets booed, they were with us or we were with them, whichever the case may be. It was a lot of natural synergy that happened in that section.
I won't go as far as to say we were in a smart section, but we were certainly in a above average. No, that's pushing it.
Hey, take it easy.
We were in a functionally literate section.
I'll buy it.
There you go. Everybody in our section seemed to be, for the most part, functionally literate and well adept at conducting themselves in public. I think that's the most politically correct way I can say it, and that's probably the most accurate for the description we're going for.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Highlights of the night.
It was a seven match card.
Was it? I thought it was not. Well, I guess it was seven.
I mean, if you count the pre-show, it's like eight or nine.
No, it was definitely two matches on the pre-show.
Okay, so then it's a seven match card. You pull it up and verify, but I think it is seven. The main event, or the top half of the card that was building to the main event, delivered. Gave me what I paid for. No complaints. Whoever's in charge of set design.
Oh boy.
If you're first, okay.
Actually, it was a nine match card.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll walk through it in a second. Whoever's in charge of set design, when you're in certain buildings and they have a jumbotron for you to view part of the event on, that's super important for people in your risers and other sections going up.
Direct opposite side is very important.
Yeah, we're looking directly at the entrance ramp. But neither here nor there at this point. Lowering the truss into the view line of the jumbotron and then pointing white lights into the crowd from the stage, the sides and the truss, that's just nasty work.
That is
nasty work.
The color scheme that they used looked cool. Washed out blue and a washed out electric green, BPBC green, if you will, but it was washed out. The problem with using washed out colors and LED is that when you add white to it, it washes those colors out more and makes everything around it brighter on accident. We got beams unnecessarily because of the color scheme.
Bruh, like we getting direct light beams shot in our face all night, pause, even though it's a light beam, didn't really need that. However,
childish.
It's my birthday month, I'll be childish if I want to.
International month of childish.
And childish, cool, champion.
Tomato, tomato. Cash,
confetti. Consommé. For your taco lovers. Chicken wings. But yeah, the set design, that was probably the only drawback. And I've come to this conclusion about AEW. I already knew it. I had said it to an extent before. Now I've confirmed it. The AEW product is 10 times better enjoyed in attend- in live attendance.
This is my first official AEW event. I 100% agree.
Now, you've gone by back and watched Revolution since then. And I still haven't. But I've heard some reviews and recaps where there was a lot of stuff that we saw live and in person that did not make the telecast. Namely, Sting's retirement speech.
Well, there was a reason for that, too.
I do know. Yeah, you ran over time.
Because the last thing that was said on the pay-per-view was...
Darby's giving me cues.
That's it. Fade to black. And well, and remember, I said that when we were in the crowd, too.
Well, lucky for pencil pushers, I have the entire retirement speech, and I recorded all of it. It's probably going to get flagged now that I've said this and I'll post it. But however we need to get that to people...
I don't think you'll get flagged for it. I think you can upload that to the BPBC YouTube channel, and I'm sure it wouldn't get flagged. We've seen far more not get flagged over the years.
We have seen more for less. So we'll take a shot. We'll take our shot in the dark, and we'll upload that the same time we drop this episode.
All right, so back. I mean, because again, we're running a marathon. We're running a sprint, not a marathon here. Moments of the night for you.
Ospreay and Takeshka, definitely, 100%. I'm sticking to my guns on this. Ospreay is their last hope.
He's that guy.
He is that guy for that audience and that promotion.
And he even took Kyle Fletcher to the next level too on the following Dynamite.
Swerve absolutely deserves to be that guy, but for reasons we all know, it's a little more difficult for him to overtake that position. But what I can say is, if we're going to put this in attitude era scope of thinking, Big Bruv is like Austin. Swerve would be The Rock. So they're going to run neck and neck for almost forever, but there's the reason one is one and the other's the other.
They're definitely going to be headlining a pay-per-view next year, 2025.
Wembley. I need them in Wembley for the championship this year.
Oh, so Swerve is going to get in before Wembley?
This is what I am.
You think Swerve?
I am at.
Do you think Swerve is going to get a Dynasty?
He should get Joe Solo.
He's going to get Joe Solo.
He should get Joe Solo for the championship. Paige tries to interfere and stop Swerve from winning, ends up knocking Joe unconscious.
Now, taking nothing away from the Ospreay Takeshita match. And let me back up. I said this 2-3 years ago about Takeshita. Before he became a heel, when he was flirting with the Blackpool Combat Club, I said that Takeshita should be this very slow, methodical heel that pulls out just hard body moves and makes you believe in him as a stone cold killer, like Yakuza. He did that with Okada, even to the point of believable false finishes. Ospreay, to the point of believable false finishes that he actually was going to beat Ospreay in Ospreay's debut in AEW. Did not happen, but damn good match. I dare say match of the year candidate. I've heard some say best match they've seen in forever. I don't even want to talk about the star rating. I refuse. But
you knew the star rating was going to be on a whole different level because of all the other intangibles. I will reserve judgment on match of the year just because, you know, prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. I like certain parts of it.
Was it at least a match of the night for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to say 1A with 1B being the three-way. And the only reason why that's a 1B is because Hangman was in it.
I came to see Sting, so I can't say totally match of the night. Had I been watching at home, definitely.
Sting's whole match was a moment. Like, I can't, I hit his entire, like, man, who all do we see? David Crockett, Magnum TA, Lex Luger, Scotty Riggs, Diamond Dallas Page. That's Arn Anderson. That's just who we saw from the perch. Mm-hmm. That's just who we saw from the perch. We don't know who else was there, but those are people who I could, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Look, Ric Flair. You see what happens when you keep your nose clean? You hear the pop that Ricky Steamboat got? He ain't out here embarrassing himself, his record label, his crew, his publishing staff. He ain't out here doing stuff that would get him frowned upon. And when he come back around, they treat him as such. Keep your nose clean. That's it.
Sting, Sting's boys came out, and I believe it was Garrett that came out as Surfer Sting. Man, I swear I was like, there's no way he did this in a week. But we had Surfer Sting, we had NWO Wolfpack Sting represented by Sting's sons, and they did a great job of looking the part.
Indeed. Eddie, I heard people watching the pay-per-view kind of had some production issues, but from our vantage point, like,
it was amazing from our vantage point.
Yeah. Seeing Surfer Sting, because I really thought he did the reset.
Yep.
So for about 15 seconds, I was real lit.
It was the size. It was the muscle mass that let me know, like, there's absolutely no way he did this in 5 days. Like, there's no way.
I didn't get to size him up. I saw the jacket, the blonde hair, and the face paint, and I was like, we lit.
Kingpin and Danielson. That was a good one.
It was pay-per-view
only because of the implications of the rivalry. But this match can go on any card at any given time and still take, you're going to get what you get out of Kingpin and Danielson. It was a good match.
I'm happy for it because Eddie Kingston's being featured in a better position. So that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be within the Bryan Danielson farewell tour, but no one's talking about it openly, so you don't know when it starts or when it's going to end.
I don't think we're going to start hearing the rumblings of it as far as like the wind down until London.
I think, just me, it should go Wembley to Wembley.
I'm not mad at that.
You know they're going back. So if we say, hey, Wembley, and then next year in Wembley's the last one, I can live with that. But what we learned from Sting's retirement tour is that, you know, certain things got to be handled a little different, just a little bit.
Yeah. And then, of course, Darby Allin flying through that damn glass. Just.
Yeah, that was the one. Like, young man, what are you doing? Why? Well, I know why. Still.
Because Texas?
Texas ain't got nothing to do with why he did what he did.
Lord have mercy. Yeah, 9 show matches, 11 including the 2 on the pre-show. Overall.
Make sure you read that disclaimer if you're going to sit in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah. You paid to get sharded on. Just understand that. If you go to a wrestling event and you are near action, whatever happens, happens. Don't worry. Don't try getting any frivolous lawsuits. You're not getting no paper. Not like that.
I mean, okay, this is where I'm like, there's a difference between what is legally, you know, binding and what is morally right. If you're in a situation where someone catches an accidental stray, like, you didn't advertise the fact that we were gonna have exploding glass going on around here. If I catch a stray, man, make sure just take care of me. If
protect,
I get hurt,
yeah, protect me. Like, have security come by and cut. Like, hey, like, while the viewing audience is getting a vignette, have security go by. Hey, y'all may want to move. There's going to be something happen over here. Just a heads up. Something. I don't know. Either way, though.
A Band-Aid.
Yeah, I'm looking forward more so than I was going to WWE Monday Night Raw in Raleigh on Monday, March the 18th, year of our Lord 2024.
Hey, shout out to us pulling up to Friday Night SmackDown.
That's my segue.
March 8th, year of our Lord 2024.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, IMOC is real. Like we represent the BPBC, the gangrene. We represent very lovely in the wrestling world for IMOC.
Fam out, kicked it in the Admiral Suite.
And that's the thing. It's a family affair. Like you and I went to the pay per view, and for payback, you took your baby girl to SmackDown, taking mine to Monday Night Raw. Like it's an amazing time.
First event, and it was a great situation.
WATTBA. WYBA. Okada shows up at AEW Dynamite, supposedly to help out Kingpin, and then ends up shaking the hands of the Young Bucks, and they fire Kenny Omega and put Okada in Kenny Omega's place in the Elite. Swab, what you think?
I don't. Next. That was the biggest free agent you could sign in the entire world. The biggest non-domestic import, the biggest import free agent talent in the world. That's how you debut. I'm good.
Yeah.
There's nothing against Okada. I don't dislike Okada. I just dislike the way. You ever seen that episode of The Cosby Show where they're talking about dabness?
Yep.
You brought me a T-bone steak, but you served it on a trash can lid. That's what happened. You brought me a perfectly cooked porterhouse served on a trash can lid. I can't do nothing with that.
I will say this. I'm going to eat crow on this one. I didn't think that there was going to be any steam to him coming in with the Young Bucks, because I didn't think his English was going to be up to par enough to be able to carry his own baggage through, you know, his first year in AEW. Proved me wrong on Dynamite this past week. And I'm thankful that he did, because he was quite hilarious. Only because my expectations were, my expectations were in hell. So
I only have one cool sort of takeaway that I'm hoping. The fact that they brought up Kenny Omega means he may be closer to returning than we may have expected. So that's the one thing. Hit the bell for that.
Yeah, let's hope that we can put that in Wembley. And I'm giving some applause too.
You see exactly why I said that. So we can get Okada and Omega in Wembley. Still not the first one on U.S. soil, but I'll take Wembley.
Yep. All right. Mercedes Moné debuts in Boston, opens and closes the show, while Tamina, Bayley, and Naomi are all in attendance.
So 2/3 of the bloodline. We're in the stands. We're in the rafters. The 97 seats.
Yeah, they were up
this
there.
This is your daily acknowledgement.
This is your daily acknowledgement. That's number one. This is your first daily acknowledgement.
You feel me? I'm glad friends are supporting friends, because that's real life 100 toes down stuff.
Meanwhile, she cut the promo of her life and Ospreay cut the promo of the night.
Listen, I missed the first part, so I got to go back and watch. I saw the end.
Yeah.
And then I saw the replay of what they were doing with her entrance.
I just wish
she finna cash out with that interest song. The CEO chant is going to catch on. It's going to be a thing.
Attitude Era Me says the promo that she cut at the beginning of the show should have been her mollywhopping Willow Nightingale at the end of the show. Didn't happen that way, but there's a seed planted still. I rock with it. Let's see what else. Speaking of our daily acknowledgement, our tribal chief has seemed to put himself in a little bit of hot water with the internet wrestling community, IWC, if you will.
Meh.
Let me tell you something. Calling somebody a cross-dresser in a scripted form of entertainment does not make that person a transphobe when they're already in character. Quit being soft. You say worse things to each other when you are of the alphabet community. I've heard you. Don't act like you don't.
We've seen you.
Don't act like you don't.
Is interjecting your personal issues into every form of entertainment nonstop, even the fictional and or scripted variety? That's a little bit much.
You don't like it? Stop watching.
There's content produced for every community that exist at this point. If you have a certain set of views or a certain code you're gonna live by, 100% you can find content to indulge in that will support that. So you don't have to deconstruct anybody else's or try to rearrange anybody else's, because there's already something that's tailored for you.
And let's keep it a whole thousand. You had Jake Atlas in NXT. You have Giselle Shaw in TNA. You also currently have Nyla Rose, who's a day one AEW person. You're represented well. Leave it where it is. Go watch what you want to watch, or don't watch anything at all. The choice is really yours. But shut up with the judgment behind the keyboard, because you're not going to keep that same energy in public. I'll keep saying it until someone actually says it in public.
Riddle me this. Is the clothing in question not of an effeminate nature? Not the person wearing it, not any of their actions while they are wearing it. The garments themselves. Is there not an effeminate or even unisex vibe to that clothing?
We will say it to the ends of time. Absolutely. And no one said anything about The Rock about him when he told Seth that he was wearing his wife's clothes, or when Roman said he was wearing his wife's clothes.
No. I've seen other people that were basically like building a case using that over and over again.
Did they start the case when that happened? Or did they start it after this?
Of course not.
Exactly. My point exactly.
Of course not.
Yeah. Stop it. That's all I'm saying, is stop it. That's your other daily acknowledgement. Finally, on this episode, WWE 2024 Hall of Fame inductees. So far, we have Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda. You see what I did there? The U.S. Express. Now, granted, Barry Windham is already a Hall of Famer with the Horsemen. Deservedly so. Mike Rotunda, not a Hall of Famer, but he could be a Hall of Famer for not just being IRS, but also being in the Varsity Club with Kevin Sullivan, who Kevin Sullivan probably would never be a Hall of Famer. That's a whole other conversation.
Even Varsity Club's a deep cut. Money Inc. would have been a shoe-in, but, you know, they got some stuff going on.
it's just the name, bro.
No, everybody's got a price. One man was out here living the gimmick.
It wasn't Big Ted, it was Lil Ted, allegedly.
Big Ted, Lil Ted, Ted, medium Ted, European cut Ted, oversized Ted.
Oh boy.
Every lad one of them was involved.
We didn't mention the God MC, another daily acknowledgement here for you, Paul Heyman, going in Philadelphia. Overdue, but this is the right place for it. And I'm glad he's actually still able to be able to receive this, you know, while he's on this earth.
Bull, we've been calling it.
Bull Nakano. G-Bus.
Deep cut.
Not only is this a deep cut, you want to see some of her matches. Japan in the 90s was different.
Her Japan matches in the 90s is lit. Her run in like 95, 96 with Alundra Blaze, they had great matches, but Bull Nakano is walking her style way down.
You can compare her to anybody who came through Japan at that time. Terry Gordy, Dr. Death, Steve Williams. Give me some more. Vader.
Stan Hansen was still active out there at that time. He couldn't see, but he was active.
Muda, Stan Hansen.
Chono.
Masahiro Chono, absolutely. I mean, the list goes on and on. Her name is synonymous with all of them.
I would have paid good money to see Bull Nakano versus Awesome Kong.
Sheesh.
Or for that matter, Bull Nakano and Gail Kim.
Thunderbolt Patterson.
Yeah.
And then also in the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame, the champ, Muhammad Ali. I've already spoken my praises of Muhammad Ali. I
love it.
Man, great class so far. Great class so far. I really think that the Wyndham Rotunda should go in as well. That's my personal opinion. I don't know if we get that, but with Unk and Pops being in it, I see no reason why he doesn't go in with them inducting him.
Give me Sabu for the win.
Well, there's that's our time. Show at BrokenPistolBC.com, BrokenPistolBC at gmail.com, BrokenPistolBC on all things social. That's at BrokenPistolBC on what?
Everything.
Do we want to go overtime or are we good?
I mean, we make the rules here. It's completely up to you.
Bonus cut. And I have to say this, because I have to do this only because this last episode was insane. 60 seconds on the clock for this one. You ready?
Okay, run it.
Season 6. Is this 6 or 5? Dark Side of the Rings. Is this season 6 or 5?
5.
Season 5, Dark Side of the Rings starts now. John Cena. Did you see the episode yet?
I did.
It was a good episode. Not really the dark episode, just sad. Just a really sad episode.
I mean, it was a quality story. I guess the dark part of it is that he was like 42.
Yeah. But his. So
if there's going to be something dark about it, that would be it. But for the most part, it was just. It was informational.
Great information. It was a great informational episode. Buff Bagwell. Did you watch that episode yet?
Have not watched that
episode. Oh, boy. Yet. Okay. That's it. That's the show. I'm not going to spoil it for you on this one. Pencil Pushes, if you've seen it, y'all hit me. You see the socials at the bottom of the screen. Hit us up. We gave it to you earlier for the Broken Pencil joint. So, hey, get at us, man. Talk to us. Code. Yeah, scan the code. Tell a friend. Swap, take us to the house.
Pencil Pushers. Like, rate, subscribe, share, comment, tell a friend, tell that friend to tell a friend, and then tell that friend again. Heads up, pencils down.
We'll catch you in a week, my sahabs.
You did it.